Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to In Real Life with Evan Halperin. Today's episode will be about Vice President Kamala Harris's first rally as the leading Democrat nominee for president. This was a rally in West Allis, Wisconsin. And if you remember, Joe Biden had a rally in Wisconsin a couple weeks back. And the reason that they're focusing on Wisconsin, the Democrats, is because they won by an extremely small margin in 2020. And in 2016, they lost by a fairly small margin, where they extremely underperformed both of the last two elections. And in this rally, the claim by Kamala that she made was that the path to the White House goes through Wisconsin. And it's obvious that this is solely because of Donald Trump, who won Wisconsin in 2016 and lost very slightly in 2020, most free and fair election. They won at 3 in the morning, completely fair, nothing wrong with that at all. Please don't take me down, Spotify, YouTube. Very free and fair election. Anyways, Trump was the first Republican since Reagan in 1984 to win Wisconsin. Wisconsin is now a toss-up state, and it's a toss-up state because of Trump. This is the power that Donald Trump has. He has the potential to make these states that are blue completely into toss-up states. And this is a real problem the Democrats have. It's going to be very interesting to see how things line up on election night. What I will say, a praise I can give to Kamala, is she actually has energy. She's an alive human being. Now, she's a creepy alive human being, but she is alive, and her brain works as well as it ever has worked. She has no cognitive decline. It's a vast difference from Joe Biden, who for some reason she continues to bring up. She keeps trying to hype up Joe Biden. She makes this claim, and this is the second time she's made it, that already in one term, Joe Biden has surpassed the legacy of most two-term presidents. Now, if you look at this with any type of critical thinking, it's obviously untrue. If Joe Biden is remembered, it will only be for his screw-up of the economy and his horrible foreign affairs, both policies and actions. Most likely, when we look back on Joe Biden, we'll remember 9% inflation and the way in which we backed out of Afghanistan that got troops and civilians killed. If we remember him at all. I think currently more likely is that he is placed in the same category of the Chester Arthurs, the Millard Fillmores, and the John Tylers. People that maybe you recognize their name because they were presidents, but maybe you don't. And name recognition is all they have. It's very awkward that she keeps trying to bring up Joe Biden. I don't think it gives her any help in the polls, and he's done, or he's out of politics currently. Yes, he's the sitting president, he's out of politics, he's not doing anything, there's nothing else he's going to get done. His last action is going to be the pardon, or the pardons that he gives out, as most presidents do when they leave office. Maybe he does that, that's not even 100%. He's done in politics. He has no more job to do. He's done. He probably can't do a job. He still hasn't really been seen or heard from. It's now like 6 or 7 days. And the entire first family has just kind of disappeared off the face of the earth. I don't know why bringing up Joe Biden. This is a conspiracy theory from me with completely no evidence. The only reason I can think of that she continues to say his name is because the dude's actually dead and they're keeping him alive in the minds of the American people for as long as possible. That's the only thing I can think of. There's no reason to continue to bring him up and lie about him, and lie about him so obviously. And it's bizarre. Now, allegedly, Kamala has secured enough delegates to secure the nomination, which is absolutely a miracle because not a single person voted for her during the Democratic primary process. Now, remember, this is a democracy, ladies and gentlemen. It's not, but this is what they claim. They claim it's a democracy. And obviously, democracy just means whatever they like, and fascism just means whatever they don't like. Now, if you ask them to define these words, they can't do it. They won't do it. And it's because, deep down, at least the politicians know they're lying. However, you also have the claim from the left. Now, when they look at the right and they look at MAGA, you have this claim that the right and MAGA are a cult. It's a claim they make. Now, that's not accurate. And if you look at the left and what they do, and how quickly the entire platform, the party's platform, shifts, in my opinion, that is much more apt to a cult. You have manufactured enthusiasm, party-wide, for a candidate that did not garner a single vote during the Democratic primary process. Why she didn't garner a single Democratic primary process vote? It's because she wasn't even running. That is extremely similar to what you would call a dictator. Someone that doesn't get any votes and yet somehow ends up in a position of power. Now, during her rally, the only things of substance she said were lies. The only things of substance, I have to go back and keep butchering that word. Her entire campaign will not be run for anything, but rather it will be run against Trump. That is the overall point and message of her campaign, is I'm not Trump. However, she won't actually be running against Trump, but rather the false image that the Democrats paint of Trump. And the way she has been doing this is trying to highlight the past, right? Where she was a prosecutor and she's calling Trump a crook. It's very easy to just call somebody a crook. It's very hard to disprove, especially when you're extremely litigious against somebody. Right? You have an old saying that if a cop follows you for a certain amount of miles, he can find a reason to pull you over. This is with everybody, and it's especially with the Democrats against Trump. So she uses some examples of his crookedness. The first that she brought up was Trump University. Now, Trump University was not a real university, but it was a sort of learning program that taught real estate techniques, how to sell and how to manage real estate. And there was some controversy leading up to the presidency in 2016 where he was sued three different times leading up to his presidency because of Trump University. So the first was the court case of Lowe, L-O-W, versus Trump University, LLC. There were tons of issues with this case. So Trump wasn't even actually originally named as a defendant in the case, and it was amended later on. And then the lead plaintiff was changed at the very end of the case. Major, major issues with the way this case went through the legal system. You have the second case, which is Cohen versus Trump, which there were possible issues due to the biases of the judge, and then there was pressure to settle because Trump was more interested in being president than being in a court case. So you see, even currently, with the ringer that they're putting Trump in, the different lawsuits they're putting him in, they were doing this all the way back in 2016. It was just a little less well known. And then there were some issues, I believe, in California and Florida and Texas with the business license, whether he could actually teach this stuff legally or not. So the outcome of these three lawsuits was that it wasn't actually clear that Trump did anything knowingly wrong. And eventually the three cases were settled for $25 million, which is pocket change for him, but it's also pocket change for these type of cases. That's essentially nothing. And the reason that these cases were settled was because Trump was elected president, and he didn't really have time to be sitting in court. He had to be president. And so he shelled out $25 million, that's total, for the three cases. That's the first claim, is the Trump University thing and makes him a crook, right? Which, no. Then she moved on to the second claim. This is a false claim that Trump was found liable for sexual abuse. Now, the fact is that, actually, a jury found him not liable in a court of law in a civil trial. So, a civil trial is different than a criminal trial because of the proof or the evidence needed, especially in cases of a jury. In a criminal trial, you need 100% of the jury to agree. And if one person disagrees, usually they go to a mistrial. That's different than a civil case, in which there is extremely less amounts of evidence needed, and also, you only need 51% of a jury to agree. They couldn't even get that. What he was found liable of was... was slander. Now, that's a little bit weird, because what he was slandering the accused, E. Jean Carroll, of, or the accuser, sorry, was that she was a liar. Now, she was found to be lying. He did not sexually abuse her. But then he was found guilty for saying that she was a liar. Very bizarre. It doesn't make sense. That's what he was found liable for. It wasn't sexual abuse. It was slander. Except that he wasn't actually slandering her, because a slander is a falsehood. He was not spouting falsehoods. He was actually telling the truth. He was saying, I didn't sexually assault her, and he was found to be telling the truth, and yet he was still found liable for slander. Now, that sounds weird, and that sounds impossible, because it is weird, and it is impossible, and yet it happened. But the second claim, that he was a crook because he was found liable for sexual abuse, untrue. And then you have the third claim, that he was found guilty on 34 counts of fraud. Now, that is currently being appealed in court. He was found liable for 34 counts of fraud. And this is how. He went to the bank to get a loan. And the bank said, well, we need collateral. And he said, oh, okay, you need collateral. I have this property. And this property is valuated at, we'll say, $20 million. That's not the real amount, but that's what he said. Right? And this valuation was based and agreed upon by real estate experts. And then this political judge looks at it and goes, no, I disagree. It's not valued at $20 million. It's valued at $2 million. All right, so you overvalued your property in order to get a loan, and that would be fraud. It's obvious that the judge has no knowledge of real estate valuations and that this was a political hit. Oh, and by the way, Trump paid the loan back in full on time. There was obviously no fraud, and yet because of political prosecution, he was found guilty. It is still being appealed in a court, and so the third claim that Trump is a crook because he committed fraud is obviously untrue. Now, the reason that Kamala does this is because she actually doesn't have anything else to run on. The other things she can run on are the empty words that she uses, like a people-first presidency. We're going to have a people-first presidency. No one can actually define what that means because it doesn't mean anything. She says all these great things, right? Like, I'm going to create a future where no kid has to grow up in poverty. That's fantastic. That sounds amazing. But she can't, and no one else can tell you how. She says these other things, like, we're going to guarantee affordable health care, affordable child care, and paid family leave. Yeah, the only way you do that is you bankrupt everybody in the middle and lower class by paying double and possibly more of in taxes. And this was what Bernie Sanders claimed that he wanted to do in the affordable health care. The money doesn't work. Right? It's not that I, sitting here, am this evil person that doesn't want affordable health care, that doesn't want affordable child care, that doesn't want paid family leave. All those things sound really good. And if they could happen, that would be awesome. The money doesn't work. If the Democrats could show me, or show the right, the path to success in terms of the money, right, follow the money. You can prove that you can actually do this economically without crippling the country, then I'm all for it. But they can't, they haven't, or they just won't. The other thing that Kamala has to run on, so she has really three things. She can lie on, I'm not Trump, she can lie on empty words, empty platitudes, and she can lie on lies, all different types of lies. She has lies of omission. Donald Trump wants to cut Social Security and Medicare. This is something she said. This is a direct quote. Actually, Trump wants to save it. Currently, what's happening to Social Security and Medicare is that it will be bankrupt in probably the next 10 years. The reason it will be bankrupt is because more people are taking it than are putting into it. This is because, mainly because illegal immigrants are now getting Social Security and Medicare. What needs to happen in order for Social Security and Medicare to be saved, to not be bankrupt, which is what Donald Trump wants to do, is retirement age needs to be pushed back a little bit, about 5 years, and the illegal immigrants need to come off of it. If that doesn't happen, it will be bankrupt unless we forcefully raise inflation and or taxes, probably both. If what Donald Trump wants to do, which is take illegal immigrants off, deport them back, get rid of them, and push back the age of retirement. And that sounds really bad, except you also have to remember that life expectancy is increasing dramatically. So, really, it's just putting things back into balance of the amount of time you work versus the amount of time you're retired. If that doesn't happen, Social Security and Medicare are gone. And that's a lie of omission. Next, you have lies of fabrication. This claim that she makes is that, quote, Donald Trump wants to give tax cuts to billionaires and corporations and make the middle class foot the bill. Is it, really? That's not what happened the last time he was in office. He gave tax cuts to everybody. He wants to do that again. And the economy was booming. Right, so the fabrication is that he's going to make the middle class and the lower class foot the bill. That's not what happens. The middle class and the lower class actually don't pay that much marginally in taxes at all. Right? The top 10% of the country pays 99.9% of the taxes. It's a lie of fabrication. She moves on to lies of insinuation. This is a quote, "We'll make sure every American has the ability to cast their vote and have it counted." Now, this is insinuating that that is not what Republicans want. That is what Republicans want. Republicans want every American that is legally allowed to vote to have the ability to cast their vote and have it counted. We just want to make sure that it's everybody that has the right to vote. Well, you don't actually have the right to vote, but it's everybody that has the ability to vote that we have given. And by the way, that's actually not what the Democrats want. The Democrats want people that shouldn't be voting to vote. Because the people that shouldn't be voting, by and large, vote for Democrats. This is the reason why they oppose voter ID laws. So that's a lie of insinuation. We have lies of deception. Which is a quote. We are going to finally pass red flag laws, universal background checks, and an assault weapons ban. Well, the deception here is that red flag laws and universal background checks actually already exist. They exist. And the assault weapons ban, that's a deception because I don't know if Kamala is being intentionally deceptive and knows that the words assault weapons don't actually have a definition. Like, that doesn't mean anything. There's no definition of assault weapon. They tried to define it in 1994, and they passed what they called an assault weapons ban. And the data shows that the ban was completely ineffective, at best. At best, it didn't do anything to stop gun violence, and at worst, it possibly had the opposite effect in it actually increased gun violence a little bit. And then you have the lie of all of these wrapped into one, which is the abortion lie, which is that Donald Trump wants to ban abortions nationwide. He said he didn't. By the way, abortion is not healthcare and has nothing to do with the regulation of women's bodies. This is a major lie of abortion. And if you listen to Democrats, specifically Kamala in this case, they can never give you details, they can never give you specifics. This is because, in theory, all their ideas are great. They sound fantastic. And they probably want the country to be perfect. The issue is, unfortunately, the country will never be perfect. And you have to be seated in reality. That doesn't mean you can't work to make things better. But when you work to make things better by lying, by giving empty platitudes, and by comparing yourself, you are not actually working to make things better. You are working to make things worse. Unfortunately, this is the platform today in 2024 of the Democrats and of Kamala Harris. And that has been shown by her rally, and I will continue to show it as she has more and more public appearances. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. I will see you in the very next episode.